Thank you, worship team. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody on this nice, sunny, brown Easter morning. Grass will be out one of these days, right? But it is good to see everybody this morning. We do have coffee, as usual, in the back, but we've got some danishes and fruit and things like that, so we encourage you to stay after and help eat it up, because otherwise we're not sure what we're going to do with it. But we have it here for you, so we're glad you're here. Just a few announcements that we have. We have a men's breakfast is this Saturday, 9 a.m., right, Nate? We're all set for that, yep. So come join us for that, and then a couple weeks after that will be the ladies, and we'll talk about that as it gets closer to that. Otherwise, I get in trouble with my wife if I don't remember. Also, on Thursdays at 2 p.m., we have a ladies' Bible study here at the church. If you got a little bit of free time in the afternoon, come on by and enjoy that time with the ladies. So that's always a special time for them. Today's probably the last day to talk to Pastor Franklin about our upcoming membership class. We're narrowing down the last few names so we can figure out when we're going to do that. If you want to find out more about the church and how you can partner with us in different things, that'd be a great opportunity. So see Pastor Franklin, he was a guy praying before. So I think we all know him, right? And we also thank you for your tithes and your offerings that just help us do everything that we do here for the glory of God, like celebrating this morning on Easter. What a blessing that is. We also support a handful of missionaries and missions overseas, regionally, locally, things like that, and we thank you for giving to that specifically as well. I think that's it for announcements, and I believe Lorraine is going to bring the scripture to us.
The scripture is Matthew 28, 1 through 10. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee. There they will see me.'"
Thank you, worship team. Loved singing those old hymns of the church. Thank you. What a reminder. And thank you, Lorraine, for reading for us this morning. God is good, isn't he? God is good. And it's good to see each one of you here this morning. Good to see all the children here this morning. What a blessing. What a blessing. Let's ask the Lord to direct our thoughts before we share from his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Easter morning. We thank you for the reminder of what our faith is based on, the death of Christ on the cross, but the resurrection. that came 3 days later when you raised him from the dead. Speak to our hearts this morning, we pray. May everything that is said and done here honor and glorify you. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, I found a little book entitled The Day That Changed Forever by Tim Rohl. The focal point of the book was Holy Week and the death of Christ on the cross on Good Friday. And there it ended. I want to say this morning that if everything ended on Good Friday with the death of Christ, with his burial in the borrowed tomb, then we'd be no further ahead than any other religious organization of the world. But it didn't end on Good Friday, did it? It did not end on Good Friday. As Paul Harvey used to say, let me tell you the rest of the story. The rest of the story came a couple of days later, didn't it? When God wonderfully, miraculously, gloriously raised his son to life. That's the rest of the story. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, the leaders, the people of other religions, they can go and point to the tombs of their leaders and say, there he's buried. There he's buried. But we can't, can we? Because he's no longer in that tomb. God, through his mighty power, raised Christ to life again. Praise the Lord. But let's go back for a moment and think about that first Easter, that first Easter morning. When we look at the disciples on that first Easter morning, one thing is obvious. The disciples really didn't think they had anything worth celebrating. They had left everything. They left houses. They left businesses. They left family. They left everything to follow Jesus. And for 3 years, they had faithfully followed Jesus. They had witnessed incredible miracles. They had even been given power at times to perform miracles on their own. They had listened to his teachings. Over and over and over again, they had listened to his teachings. And they had hoped beyond hope that he was the Messiah, the promised one of God. Now it seemed like everything that they had staked their lives on was gone. It was gone. Jesus, their leader, their master, the one who was supposed to be their Messiah, the one who was supposed to be their Savior, was dead. He had been cruelly put to death on a wooden cross. Possibly a poorly constructed wooden cross, we don't know. But he had been nailed to that cross by the religious leaders of his day. Disillusionment, confusion, despair, and hopelessness filled the disciples. And who can blame them? Who can blame them? Just think, if you or I had left everything to follow one individual and then seen him put to death, wouldn't we be disillusioned too? Probably. There really wasn't much celebrating on that first Easter morn. In their despair, they were not even not celebrating. They really felt there was no reason to go on. They'd given up. Have you ever been to that point? I think we all have at one time or another in our lives been to that point when it seemed like there was nothing worth living for, nothing worth going on for. But something changed on that Easter morn. Let me share a few thoughts with you this morning. One thing the disciples missed was the promise that Jesus had given. How quickly the disciples had forgotten the words of Jesus. Three times we have recorded in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus had predicted his death, but where he had also given them the promise that he would come back again. These predictions of his death contained something very valuable. All they focused on, all they heard, was his words that he was going to be put to death. But they missed something very important, something that could have sustained them and helped them through the coming hours. If they had really, truly been listening, if they had really been paying attention. And we've all had people who hear part of what we say, but not the whole story. They have selective hearing. I'm not going to single anybody out this morning, but there are people who have selective hearing, especially when it comes to their wives. But these men were listening, but they only heard part of the story. Let me share these predictions. Matthew 16:21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. And on the third day, be raised to life. The disciples heard the first part, but they shut down after they heard that he was going to be put to death. Again, Matthew 17:22-23. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And his disciples were filled with grief. Why were they filled with grief? Because they focused on that first part, that he would be put to death. Again, in Matthew 20:17-19, we find Jesus' words. "They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." The disciples were filled with grief at the thought of Jesus' death, weren't they? They were overwhelmed with sorrow, with grief. But what was it that they had missed? They had missed the promise, hadn't they? Three times Jesus had told them that he would be put to death. But three times he also told them, "On the third day, I will be raised to life." That selective hearing heard the first part, but they missed the promise. They missed the promise. And it's interesting, it wasn't just once, it wasn't twice, it was three times that Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. But who heard the promise? Who was listening? I want to share, and we don't have all the scripture up there because I decided this morning to read the whole section here. Matthew 27:62-66. "The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. 'Sir,' they said, 'we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first.' 'Take a guard,' Pilate answered. 'Go make the tomb as secure as you know how.' So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard." It's interesting who was listening. The chief priest and the Pharisees. Hey, remember what Jesus said? Remember what that deceiver said? On the third day, I'm going to raise to life. I'm going to be raised to life. And their thinking was to do everything they possibly could to keep that from happening. Because they were afraid that the disciples would come, take his body, and say he had risen. They were listening. They were listening. They were paying attention. So they went and made that tomb as secure as possible. Where there was a stone rolled in front of it, a big, massive stone. There was a seal on that stone, the seal of Rome. If anybody broke that seal, they would be in trouble. They could face execution for tampering with that seal. But there were guards, armed guards placed at that tomb. Those chief priests and the Pharisees had heard what the disciples had missed, and they wanted to make sure that nothing happened to Jesus. But one thing they didn't reckon with was the mighty power of God, did they? You know what? When God steps in, all of our efforts are in vain. When God steps in, what a difference. What a difference. Let's move on to the promise fulfilled. Having been given both the prediction of his death and the assurance of his resurrection, the disciples, where should they have been on that morning? They should have been camping outside the tomb, shouldn't they? Jesus said he'd rise from the dead, he'd be raised from the dead. They should have been there waiting. Where were they? Hiding behind locked doors in fear and trembling. Wow. They were hiding. And you know what? We can't blame them. We talked a little bit about this on Thursday at our ladies' Bible study. We can't blame them. We probably would have been doing the same if it had been us. We've got to remember one thing. We're this side of the resurrection. They were that side. They'd never seen anybody rise from the dead. Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, but that was Jesus' doing. Lazarus did not automatically rise from the dead. God, through his power, used Jesus to raise him. They did not understand. They should have been waiting. They should have been watching, but they weren't. Instead, they were hiding behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, because they were afraid that if the Jews would put Jesus to death, they might be next. They might be next. On that first day of the week, it was Mary Magdalene and another Mary who were first at the tomb. What were they doing there? It says here that they had gone to look at the tomb. Had they gone to grieve? Had they gone to complete the burial process? Had they remembered his words? Honestly, I think they were as lost and confused as the disciples. Something had happened there at that tomb. There'd been a mighty earthquake, a violent earthquake, from the scripture that Lorraine had read. There had been a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of them that they shook and became like dead men. Wow. The guards were still there. But when God worked, when God sent that angel to roll that stone away, when the earth quaked, those guards fell down like dead men. But the angel was there, and the angel gave a message to the ladies. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. One time I read in scripture there are at least enough do not be afraid or do not fear sayings in the scripture for a whole year. I don't know, but those were the angel's words to these women. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. He is not here. He has risen. Come see the place where he lay. Then go and tell the disciples. Go and tell the disciples. It's interesting, it was women at the tomb that morning. It was women who were given the message to go and tell the disciples. It was women who had become the first witnesses of that tremendous event. It doesn't matter whether it was women, whether it was men, they saw, they heard the message. But you know what? They not only heard the angel's words. It says here in verse 8, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Not only did those ladies have the privilege of hearing the angel's word, they were the first to see the resurrected Christ. And his words to them, "Greetings, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, but go and tell my brothers. Go and tell the disciples. Go and tell them what you have seen, what you have heard. Go and tell them that I am going ahead of them and will meet them in Galilee." What a wonderful, wonderful event. But what wonderful news. The tomb was empty. Jesus, who had been crucified, had been raised to life. Wow. Let's move on. I want to share another portion of Scripture, and I probably would have overlooked this, but Pastor Chapman, who pastored my home church for many, many years, shared this one Sunday morning, and I'll tell you, it hit me hard. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, and I think we only have one of those verses there. "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." But verse 24, "But God," I like that, "but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." If you don't remember anything else this morning, remember this powerful truth. God raised him. God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. The fulfillment of Jesus' promise brought victory over death, over the grave, and ultimately for all who believe. Hallelujah. And nothing, absolutely nothing, could keep Jesus in that grave. Isn't that wonderful? The Jews provided that seal of Rome, that on that stone, on that rock, they provided guards, but that could not, they could not keep Jesus in that tomb, could they? When God moved, when God came, something wonderful happened. And it didn't matter what the Jews had done. It didn't matter what the Romans had done. Nothing, nothing could keep Jesus in that tomb. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back to the platform. The disciples, in attention to his promise, the disciples in attention to Jesus' promise, and their lack of faith could not keep Jesus from rising from the dead. Their failure to hear the message, their failure to believe, did not stop Jesus from rising from the dead. Neither could the chief priests and the Pharisees prevent him rising from the dead, no matter how secure they made the tomb. The evil one, who has been active since the beginning of time, could not prevent Jesus from rising from the dead. What had been promised, what Jesus had promised, and what had been promised many years prior in the Old Testament, was filled in a mighty way by the wonderful power of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing, could prevent it or stop it. Death could not keep its hold on him. God would prevail. You know, I'm going to pause here for a moment. Jesus died on that cross, not for anything he had done. He died on that cross because of our sins, because of our failure to live for God and honor God. He died so that our sins could be forgiven. But he rose again so that we could have new life, so that we could have new life here, so that we could have eternal life with our Heavenly Father forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news? And the wonderful news is today we join with Christians around the world celebrating what God has done, celebrating the wonderful resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And I would encourage us to unite our hearts together and celebrating what he has done. And I would also encourage you, if you have not yet had an encounter with Jesus yourself, if you do not know your sins forgiven, if you have not received that gift of life and of eternal life, today's the day. Today's the day. Jesus, that tomb is still empty, isn't it? He is still alive. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and he is here and wants to meet you, wants you to have an encounter with him, wants to change your life forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for what you teach us. Help us, Heavenly Father. Help us. May we not miss the promise. May we not miss the good news of Easter morning. May we not miss what you have done. May we celebrate together the goodness of God. And Heavenly Father, if there is one here, or more than one here, that has not yet accepted the forgiveness of their sins gained through Christ's death on the cross, today, may today be the day that they take that step. And if there is some here who have not yet received that gift of life, today may that be the day. Just work in hearts and lives, we pray, in these closing moments. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as the worship team leads us in our closing song. But if anybody would like prayer, I will be right down front. Feel free to come up, tap me on the shoulder, and I will gladly pray with you.
Bearing all my sin and shame in love.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain for the sins of the world. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for this reminder that when all seems lost, you step in. But God, you step in. Help us as we go forth from here today. Help us to go forth celebrating the wonderful news that Jesus is alive. He has risen from the dead. He is risen indeed. And Lord, whatever we are facing in our own individual lives, remind us that you're still on the throne. You've got it. You will take care of us. You will meet us right where we're at. Help us today to go forth celebrating your great and wonderful love for us and for what you have done in Jesus Christ. Bless, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.